You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Rewire. Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
So that was Julianne Ginter from the Green Party. Finally, on our show today, our producer Jack spoke with Rez Ghadi, the founder of the Kurdish Youth Association in New Zealand, about the referendum on independence taking place in Iraqi Kurdistan today. He started off by asking Ghadi about who is asking for the referendum and why.
Yes, so the referendum is being led by President Masoud Barzani, who is the head of the Kurdistan Democratic Party and the current president of the Kurdistan Regional Government. The call for the referendum is something that we've been trying to achieve for a long time, so it's a tangible first step towards a long-held goal of sovereignty. And whenever we've tried to have a referendum in the past, we've been told, oh, it's not the right time, or wait for this event to happen, or wait for this to happen. So we've always been told it's not the right time for external reasons, and we've reached the point where there is never going to be a perfect time for the international community or for Iraq. And so President Barzani has taken the lead and decided that the time is now.
And from reading around just like online and things, there's like a lot of opposition, mostly from the kind of countries surrounding, so Turkey, Iraq. But I was wondering, is there much support from any international countries?
So currently the only country supporting the Kurdish referendum is Israel. We haven't had international support from traditionally the countries that have in the past supported or at least indicated some sort of support when the time comes, such as the US, the UK supported during times throughout history, Russia supported a long time ago now, but there have been periods where different countries have indicated support. But at this current time, the only current state showing support is Israel, and France indicated that they wouldn't oppose, but that doesn't necessarily mean they support.
And so this region is extremely kind of it's got a long history of kind of being caught in the middle of, you know, larger kind of superpowers just using the space as kind of, you know, for their geopolitical agendas. And then so you bring up somewhere like Israel supporting Kurdistan, and it's in that kind of region, it's kind of this strange dichotomy where they're not giving the people in Palestine sovereignty, but they're kind of advocating for Kurdish sovereignty. Do you know why that is?
Well, I couldn't speak on behalf of Israel. I'm not from there, and so wouldn't know particularly, but it seems that Israel has had a long-standing security and business tie to the Kurdistan region. And again, having a non-Arab ally in the Middle East is probably something attractive for Israel.
And in actual Iraqi Kurdistan, is it universal support?
There is overwhelming support for a yes vote. Predominantly, everyone within that region is presumed to either be a yes voter, or those on the fence are expected to vote yes anyway. So there's a very small number of those opposing the referendum in that region.
Which kind of areas in that region are they? Is it Kurds also opposing it, or is it mostly kind of the Arab?
It's mostly the Arab, so it's within the disputed Kirkuk zone, which is obviously very oil rich and has been disputed for a long time as to whether it belongs to Kurdistan or Iraq. The majority of those living in Kirkuk are Kurdish and believe that it is part of the Kurdistan zone. But those opposing are predominantly those living in Kirkuk who are not Kurdish.
And it does seem that it's never as simple as we want it to be, or just about the independence, because in the region there is those kind of oil reserves, and then Israel gets a lot of kind of, you know, it's another geopolitical kind of backing there. So does it look like this is actually going to go ahead and pass?
Well, it's definitely going ahead. for the vote to take place. The diaspora populations around the world have already voted 2 days before the official vote in Kurdistan, and today, the 25th of September, the vote is going ahead. We're expecting overwhelmingly the response to be yes. So what happens next is a little bit unpredictable. We've had threats from Iran, Turkey and Iraq, who obviously Iran and Turkey are feeling threatened due to their own Kurdish populations and feeling that it may galvanize the Kurdish populations within their own formal borders to want to do the same thing. And that's where their interests lie in opposing the referendum. But there will be a, at the end of this referendum, the vote is most likely going to be yes. So what happens next, it depends on the response we have from Iraq, who has been threatening military intervention.
But it is a legally binding referendum, is that right?
It's not legally binding under the Iraq constitution. President Barzani is not expecting this to be, you know, for the vote to happen, for referendum, the outcome to be straight away an independent state created in that region. It's rather a freedom of expression for the people within the Kurdish region to express and identify where they stand on the issue, and if that is what they want. So it's just a tangible first step towards the goal of sovereignty, but it is not in itself going to create an independent state.
And just finally, do you think that people from like Turkey and Syria, the Kurds there, do you think they will then come to like Kurdistan in Iraq?
I'm not sure whether they would move, because you know, the Kurdish populations within Turkey are huge. They're a huge part of Turkey, and again in Syria there's a huge number of Kurds as well, and Iraq isn't such a huge place. So the reality of all of those Kurds within those borders wanting to move into the Kurdistan regional government practically wouldn't be possible, but it is likely that there will be move, and that may have some sort of domino effect in that the Kurds within those regions will also want to take a step towards self-determination, as is their right.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. I've kind of been interested in Kurdistan for a few years, and it's just kind of all happening now.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, this was a move that they wanted to take in 2014, but with the fight against ISIS, decided that that battle needed to be prioritized. And as we've seen in the region, the Kurds are the only forces that are fighting against ISIS. The Iraqi military has not played a huge part in that fight. So it's only a matter of time where we've got to decide, well, we can't just keep giving and not being supported when the time comes for the international community to support us, despite the long fight against ISIS and everything we've done to try to stabilize the region.
Yeah, it really seems like it's kind of, if it doesn't benefit you know, these bigger countries, and they don't really care about rights. It seems that way from a outsider's perspective anyway.
Exactly, and with the amount of people that we've had killed through the Kurdish genocide, the amount of displaced people we've had as a result of the treatment by the Iraqi government, and you know, we've got a history of oppression, we've got a history of injustice and persecution, and that's not just going to go away. So unless we take steps to determine our own future.
Yeah, well, I really hope it happens, and hopefully there's a larger Kurdistan in the future that I can visit.
I hope the next time I visit home will be an independent state.
Oh, have you been there?
I have been there. Yes, I have, and I've had to cross three different borders to see all my family, from, you know, crossing into Turkey, Iraq, and Iran, just to see family that are less than an hour away physically.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because it's one place I'd love to go in my lifetime, but it seems like it's kind of an impossibility right now.
Well, hopefully you can visit as well one day.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.